Welcome to the FMCG podcast. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a five-star review. It really helps us out. Enjoy the show. Hi, my name is Rich and we are Consumer Hub and we focus on recruiting within the consumer sector. And this is the FMCG podcast where we speak to some of those interesting people we can get our hands on and hear all about their insights into career development, their businesses and also their products and their stories. And today we've got Fatso on the show. Fatso are a really exciting chocolate brand with a difference and a twist. And we've got Ella here and Hannah talking all about the product and the story. So can you just give us a quick insight into your brand, your business, and just what it's all about so anyone listening and watching can just get that snapshot into you and your mission?
Sure. So we're Fatso. We're a new brand. We've only been going for about a year and we are all about bringing fun back into dark chocolate. So we are a dark chocolate, super chunky, highly ethical brand, and we basically don't take ourselves too seriously. So unlike a lot of other dark chocolate brands that are, you know, very thin or kind of a bit serious or, you know, apologetic in their portion size, we've thrown that all out the window and gone big on the eat, big on the chunk. And basically we celebrate more in life.
More matters is our motto.
There's a phrase on your website, is it from farm to face, which I really like. It's like very, very playful. Just like, yeah, get it in your face, enjoy it, love it.
Exactly. Life's serious enough without having to make chocolate something that's serious as well. So, we're about the big chunk, the big flavours, but we do all of the good stuff behind the scenes to make sure that, you know that our farmers are cared for.
All about packaging, it's sustainable,
yeah,
vegetable dyes, you know, packaging, all compostable. And you know you've had a piece of chocolate when you put one of your chunks or one of our chunks in your mouth, for sure.
It's certainly very, very Instagrammable. I mean, look at your socials and the website, like, yeah, it just looks looking great. But just for those watching this thing, can you just give me a quick insight into your, like, where you've come from and your backgrounds? Because people are always really interested to understand, like, your stories as well and how you've got to this point. Because you say it's quite a year old, but what were you doing before that?
So my background was, I was sort of classically trained as a brand manager at the start of my career. And then, so I worked for big blue chip companies. So I've done the big corporate world thing. And then I moved to Canada for a few years and I worked in advertising there. So I sort of went over to agency side and had a lot of fun there doing the more kind of communication side of things, I guess. So being a bit more connected into the consumer, and how you speak to the consumer. So that was good. And then I worked for a design agency for a bit. So that was where I got my more experience in thinking about packaging and, you know, how do you stand out on shelf? But really, I'd always had this sort of underlying entrepreneurial spirit in me. I always was fascinated kind of about businesses and how they run and the kind of holistic picture. I was never very good at staying in my lane in the companies I worked for. I was always causing trouble everywhere, so it's probably quite good that I can
causing trouble. Can I
cause trouble? But I'm allowed to cause trouble.
Yeah, because we're a challenger brand. That's what we do.
Exactly. So it just felt, and maybe it's in my blood. That was why. So yeah, kind of gone from the big corporate, but now just loving my life and startup and getting my hands dirty and everything from you know.
So did you and Anna Jane know each other before you'd started the business, or have you met since?
No, I found Hannah through LinkedIn and poached her.
Right.
And I was working in a slightly different space then. So I unlike Ella, have not really done the whole big corporate thing, never really been something I've been passionate about, and have always sort of sought out more entrepreneurial opportunities. And I've always loved sales, loved people, really loved building relationships. So it was always like sort of a natural transition for me to always work within that space. And then about 5 years ago, I helped launch a CBD brand into the UK, which at the time it was, wasn't really very heard of, but it was a wellness sort of lifestyle product and it did really, really well. And from there, I kind of just really honed in on my development of working with independent retailers, building relationships, sort of really working hard to get those customers and repeat orders and then growing that business. And that was sort of something I did all organically by myself, which then led me to be poached by another company to come on and do a similar thing for their brand as well. And that sort of grew. So I was working very much in sort of CBD lifestyle wellness. But obviously entrepreneurial has always been something that's really, really passionate to me. And then when Enna approached me at first, I was a bit sort of thinking, chocolate's not, I mean, as much as I love chocolate, it's not really what I'm doing at the moment, but it really does feed in very nicely because fundamentally, you know, we're telling a story. We are all the time educating people, and all the brands I've worked for, it's all about educating because they've all been challenger brands, like educating, why does somebody take CBD in a mint form? Why does somebody put it on their body? And why does somebody want to have a really big chunky chunk of chocolate called Fatso versus, you know, a bar of Cadbury?
Yeah. That's very much about telling that.
Exactly. I think I've already touched on, I love talking to people, and that's like part, like one of the best things I get to do in my job is actually go out to meet people and explain to them about the product and convert them, and then they become long lasting loving customers. So that's sort of how my journey has evolved here, and it's really great space to be in because we've got so much more to come. And this is only really the beginning. A year in, we've got, you know, over 150 independent listings. That's, you know, what we've done ourselves. We're scanning across other countries as well. We're not just UK. We've got, you know, loads in the pipeline in terms of...
That independent space is so exciting to be in, isn't it? So some of my favourite brands that we've worked with have kind of really just honed in on, you know, getting great independent sort of relationships going, strong activation there, and, you know, getting the foundations right in that, you know, they're reaping the rewards 5 years later. And I just find it's just a fascinating sector, so many interesting personalities, and it's often where you get your breaks around to really kind of show and stand out, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think as well, it's been, I was talking to someone last week and we sort of said, oh yeah, we're in 150 independents, and they were like, so what wholesaler do you work with? I'm like, oh, well, actually, we do work with wholesalers, but that figure doesn't include the wholesaler listing. That's just us. And he just couldn't fathom it, just couldn't understand how we were doing, how you could do that. And it's like, yes, it takes a lot of time, and it's, you know, but, you know, it's the only way to really connect with how your brand's doing as well. It's the only way we can really understand how people are responding, what people love, what they don't love. Also, it's quite an education around how different people around the country receive it and how they behave, you know, like the Scots bloody love us, you know. We can't keep up with the orders for, you know, these independents in Aberdeen, Edinburgh, you know.
And you go up north, don't you, to sort of Manchester and Leeds, and they see the name, and when we go up there, they're like, that's me, I'm the Fatso.
Honestly, when I saw the name, Ellie said to me, she said, Rich, you're going to fucking love this brand, it's called Fatso. And I was like, I'm sold. I don't even know what it looks like, but I'm sold on the name.
Exactly. it's been a really nice... It's always been important to us to build this brand with total integrity and also in a way that's true to us and our values. And we're a people's business at the end of the day. Like, we care, like, for us, people make the difference. You know, we wouldn't be here without the people behind it and driving it. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to me that we would then sit behind various layers in a supply chain and never connect with the people that are on the front of the line. So, sorry.
That's really interesting. What gave you the idea originally to reimagine dark chocolate as Fatso? Because it's like, on face value, you think chocolate's been done, hasn't it? Like, so many people in it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a really brave move to come a big, bold, like, Fatso in that space. Like, what gave you the spark? What made you think, yeah, this is my idea, I'm doing it?
Well, exactly to your point, it's so saturated. And if you're going to go up against probably one of the most saturated categories there is, you can't exactly just slip in alongside everyone else and think you're going to make, you know, your first million in a few. So we had to be brave, you know, and I think as a more than ever, startup businesses have to be brave, because if you're not brave and you're not bold, you're just setting yourself up. It just won't work, especially when consumers are, you know, inherently a bit nervous at the moment. They're not, you know, that they themselves aren't taking risks. And so they're kind of probably leaning into those comforts and the things that they know. So you have to be there. You have to get in front of people in a way that's like, oh, I can't say no to that. Or I can't turn my head away from that because it's just so mad, you know?
It's in your face, isn't it?
But Fatso really came. We always knew that it was going to be a really big, chunky bar because we were just fed up of dark chocolate being so apologetic in its form. And it's so delicious. Good dark chocolate is just so good. And so we knew it was going to be chunky. And then we kind of, when we were concepting about around our manifesto and what the brand was going to stand for, it was all around extra with everything. Like, come on, it's chocolate. Like, let's not hold back. We hold back in every other facet of our life. If you're going to have chocolate.
Yeah.
And so the Fatso kind of fell out of extra with everything as a kind of idea. And then that evolved into more matters. And in fact, I'm just looking here. We've got our Fatso More Matters motto on some packaging, but we did start with Fatso Made for More.
I do love more matters.
Various iterations. I never even noticed that actually.
This is like a cheesy question to ask everybody, but I'm always interested in the answer. Like, what do you see your mission as? Do you have like a defined mission? Like, what is the mission of Fatso? If it's selling chocolate, that's also cool. I mean, I'm just always interested in like how people sort of define that, like the story arc of where they're going.
It's much more than just selling.
It's much more than selling, isn't it? I think it's more about, well, such a sort of education, and also still people associate dark chocolate as like a fine red wine. If they don't really know the terminology or what it's about, it's like, oh no, I don't like dark chocolate. And I hear that a lot. I don't like dark chocolate. And I always challenge them. I say, okay, well, if you don't like chocolate, then please just try this. And if you really don't like it, then you don't like it. And I think I've had the opportunity to sample on so many people over the past week. I think maybe 100 said to me they don't like it. And after trying it, two of them said, oh, it's not that I really dislike the flavor. It's just not my thing. So that to me just goes to show that people have got this mindset of it's black or it's white. And I think for us, it's about, you know, the quality of the ingredients and having things in moderation, but also just really, just exactly getting, what were you going to say? Sorry.
No. Well, as I was just going to say, kind of succinctly, our mission is to release the lighter side of dark, to take away the seriousness and the dark, the kind of the fact that dark chocolate is considered this sort of maybe a little bit scary or boring or pretentious even. I mean, there's a lot of that. And that's just so not what we're about. We're just about like celebrating the fact that dark chocolate is just as good as milk, if not better. Definitely is better.
Definitely is better.
And it's more permissible, it's better, the quality, the taste, you know, you use less ingredient, you know, there's less stuff and crap that goes into it.
Great.
No, there are so many brands out there, as you say, there are so many brands, but the ones that I think a lot of people are like, I mean, there's the oat brands and there's the other brands out there, but, you know, we're naturally vegan by default, which is amazing in that also. So we appeal to everybody really on many, many facets. So that's a very approachable brand.
That's like, I love Raw over in Manchester that do the vegan snacks. But one of the things that I love about them is that they just privilege taste and quality of products over the vegan message. I'm not a vegan, so like I'm just not interested in whether it's vegan or not. Selfishly, I just want to eat great stuff. If it's vegan, cool. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I just love those products, and I genuinely think they're better than some of the kind of the old school classics that they emulate. And they're just so, so tasty. And I think if you can just every time, you know, give the consumer that like hit of quality, then they don't forget it, do they? And they don't mind like what's in it. It almost like you them into that journey with you, kind of, unless you just hit wowing them at first. And a question I have for you, and it kind of links back to our point about independence, is chocolate, it's a kind of key gifting area, isn't it, for independents? And it's a kind of high margin, high value area, so it's an important part of their fixture. And if they're going to give you space against the kind of other maybe more established challenger brands, then you've got to have that compelling message that we've got around the taste of the product. But how do you like stand out at shop? How do you like win the fixture? Because I'm always really intrigued by like how startup brands, you know, it's one thing, isn't it, having a great product that like punches in its own right against these big brands on taste and quality, but then you've got to get people to buy it at fixture as well, haven't you? Like, how do you guys do that? You're obviously having like great success with all those listings, but like, just give us a bit of a window into your thinking there and how you kind of win in that environment in store.
Have you seen our packaging?
I mean, I've seen the packaging is awesome. But like, is it? I mean, maybe it's just down to the packaging. Like, you just talk us through like what makes you win.
I think a lot of it is it's down to the packaging. You know, it's obviously the conversation. It's always quite funny when you come out with a name and you tell them Fatso, and then they're a bit sometimes taken back. And then when you tell them the story, then they're all ears and they want to listen. And we find that most people that receive a sample, they are quite quick to come back and say, actually, we all loved it. We'd love to take an order. We don't often, with the independent, you don't really talk about where you're going to be on shelf. That's not really a conversation that's had with independents. That's more when you're talking with the bigger opportunities, because then there's, you know, paid for different shelves and different shelters and marketing around that. So independents, when we get put on shelf, we often don't know until we receive a picture and we say, send us a pic, and we'll put it on our
story. That's really interesting.
So that's great. Yeah. So we do a lot of sharing there. But what I have found with those independents, when they send us pics further on in a few months' time, we probably have moved from down and we've got a little bit higher and we've got more space. So clearly it goes to show that people are coming in and they're seeing the product and asking, and it's proved popular. So it's being moved higher because they obviously understand as retailers that, you know, the eye level's at a certain place and this is a good seller for them. So whilst we don't really have that say, it's clearly showing that the customer is liking it and they want to bring it in a more prominent place.
Okay, I think the other thing with the independents is supporting them with things like samplings and just being present and getting people to try it. And then it's very rare that people try it and then don't go and buy a bar.
Yeah.
You know, so at this stage at the moment and I hope that we'll always be able to, is to support those smaller businesses as well as, you know, as we get bigger, paying for better fixtures and all that. You know, if we get into a grocer, or, you know, we have just we've just gone into WH Smith Travel, so all of their, which is a very different customer for them than their high street stores, as you can imagine. So they look for more premium brands in that travel space, so airports and train stations basically. But we do have some kind of more traditional in-store activations going on in there. And from a creative perspective, that's just about being us, big, bold, and a bit mad, you know, and a bit different. You know, it's not just about putting a pack shot with a big price on it. You know, it's right. About
so you get, showing you get the resonance, you get the listing, and it just works.
Yeah.
Nice
yeah.
Visual circle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What about, like, do you find, because conversation I've had with a lot of people recently is about how to sort of leverage good social activation, you know, influencers, kind of competitions, and then sort of drive people into kind of, I guess, destination stores in that independent space. Like, is that something that Fatso's done? Is it something that you're kind of exploring and finding success in? I mean, I'm just interested because it seems to be like a really interesting current discussion at the moment, how you can, like, leverage working with kind of independents socially and then almost, like, use those partnerships to then drive, you know, like, that reverberation back into the kind of the independent footfall. And it's not like, it's not funnel marketing, it's not performance marketing where it's linked to an e-store, but it's this kind of interesting loop that actually has, like, this real world effect in the independents. Is that something that you've seen, or, you know, I'm off topic there?
Do you mean from working with influencer/PR alongside?
Yeah, I've seen some interesting collaborations with, like, influencers where they've maybe done a product shout out, but then they've also, like, name dropped to, like, a local independent where they've got an event going on, and then a brand's there activated on site, and then, you know, people are kind of who love the influencer they're following, that they're going to a site where there's an activation, and it's driving, like, this kind of cascade effect for the influencer, for the retailer, and then also for the brand as well. And there's kind of really interesting kind of activation. Is that anything that you've experimented with or, like, explored, or?
We've not. The only people we've sort of done something like that with is Harvey Nichols. So Harvey Nichols have been hosting. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You just froze for a minute. I mean, it's not so much the independents, but Harvey Nichols do sort of private events and have influencers and things like that. So we've been participating in those, and obviously that's then driving that kind of trio effect, I guess. But no, we've not done anything like that specifically for smaller independents. So
no, but I think we should.
We could. It's a good idea. It's a great idea. And I think, you know, with the sort of bigger independents like Revital, yeah, and some of those with the more that have more a more destination places. Yeah. So independent stores that people really know about, or there's maybe a there's an association. It's a bit like being seen at the hottest new restaurant, isn't it? That there could be something interesting in that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, journalists, influencers, stuff, that's definitely a focus for us. Obviously, what's important to me, though, is that it's done as organically, as authentically as possible, because I think consumers aren't stupid. So all of this sort of paid for stuff is I find quite hard to...
Yeah, it's a bit obvious, isn't it?
Well, I just don't think it worked. You know, we had... it was actually organic, but we had an organic, we gifted a bar to an influencer who had over 2 million followers. So you think, oh God, you know, if that person does it, it's going to explode. And I mean, I think we gained maybe 50 followers, and I don't think there was a single sale. Because I think, you know, that person was typically always paid to do these things. So consumers, I think, are probably like, well, you've been paid to do that, so I'm not necessarily going to trust your judgment on it.
Yeah.
Whereas you get someone with a much smaller following, but as a really committed following and has said, like, you know, organic, gifted, or bought, or like they've written up a piece in the Guardian. That was great. Like, that's when you actually see results. So, I'm a real believer in like organic advocacy through people that actually people want to hear from.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I suppose that just counts for so much, doesn't it, in the space, the authenticity, you know. That's just really interesting. Just on that point, I just want to make sure I put a spotlight on the products for people. Just talk us through the range, talk us through the best sellers, and what you love about the products.
So we have four big chunky flavors, and each has their very own story. So Home Run, which is the one you mentioned earlier, so that's salted pretzel, whole almond, and honeycomb. That's like our ode to the classic baseball snack. So, you know, bit of a nod to our friends across the pond. So that's Home Run. Then we have Nan's Dash, which is, you know, Nan's, let's face it, are the OGs of sneaky snacking. So we've taken her biscuit tin of like peanut toffees, biscuits, peanuts, and we've popped those into our bars as well. So that's like, you know, our nod to Nan and her, like the secret treat she had to pass you when mum wasn't looking. We have Morning Glory, which is our cornflake toast and marmalade, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And if we were going to create something where, you know, you can have dark chocolate all day long, we had to give you a bar,
breakfast then.
Breakfast in a bar is what I call it.
Totally permissible. And then our newest flavour, which we launched actually in line with the King's coronation this year, is King's Ransom. So that's pistachio, cacao nibs, and mint, touch of mint. And it's so decadent that we had to hold the King to ransom to pay for it.
Have you sent a bar to the King?
We did do a campaign.
Nice.
Where before we launched, we did like a teaser campaign where we did abduct King Charles and held him in a basement. Yeah.
I'm glad he got out.
Yeah, well, he was very concerned. He missed his crown fitting, so I don't think his crown fitting. I don't know.
He was smothered in chocolate as well. Yeah, didn't he?
Couldn't get enough. I'll have to send you the link to the...
You can take to love videos.
And I guess just kind of rounding it off for people, it's just really, really interesting just getting insight into the business and the journey so far. Like, it's great. Like, what's around the corner? Anything exciting that you can share for next year? Or
so next year is going to be... the key thing for us is that it is about dark chocolate, but it's not just about bars. So we do have an ambition. We're to be a platform brand. So we want to launch other formats. I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Okay.
Other ways to enjoy dark chocolate in a chunky fatso way. So we've got that. We're doing. Hannah's got a bit of a international agenda going.
Yeah, we've got a few things coming up. A trip to Barcelona in a couple of weeks, which is looking at more growth outside of the UK. As I mentioned, we're sort of quite established here. We have got some organic growth outside. And we really want to hone in on some of those other territories. So there'll be more international fatso exposure there. So that's exciting.
Taking fat so international, right?
We are.
Well, at least for now. For people that are kind of looking at the journey that you've been on and they're excited by it and they want to be in a cool startup environment, doing something different, you know, doing something new. Have you got any advice on what people need to hone in terms of, you know, skills, attributes, just general qualities that help people succeed in their own careers, you know, if they want to go for maybe a bigger brand into something that's a challenger?
We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? I think if you're, I think you're either made for it or you're kind of not, in a way.
Yeah.
It's not something, you know, working for a small startup is essentially coming and working with entrepreneurs. And therefore, inherently, you've got to have that hustle, that heart, that entrepreneurial spirit, that willingness to kind of get stuck in. You know, you don't have the same structure and roles that you might have in a bigger company. It's kind of a very roll up your sleeves. You know, you'll have an area that you're focused on. But, you know, I say everyone in the, you know, there's four of us and it's like, well, everyone's a seller. From whether you're an accountant or a brand manager on your title, you're still, you know, it's still about getting the brand out there and increasing distribution. So
in some shape or form, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to have that sort of, I guess, energy and appetite to help grow a business. And I think that's something that's quite innate within people. It's not something that I think if people really like a lot of structure and they like to have a clear job spec and this is what I do and this is what I don't do, you know, but for me it's not about honing skills, it's about attitude, because I think you can teach the job whether you're fresh out of college or university or school, or you know, you've had a career in something totally different and you're switching. I think if you have that desire to be part of something and grow something and help be one of the defining elements of that, that's all I would look for with someone at this stage.
Fundamentally, we are the fatsos. We are the face of the brand. We're the people that talk about it all the time to everybody. So whilst we have a product, you know, we need people within our team that, you know, we all work quite closely together. And as Ella said, you know, we do a bit of everything. I just don't just do sales, and Ella doesn't just do...
No. Right. You might be ordering loo roll for the first 5 minutes of your day. That's just the way it is.
Okay. So just I guess that's like, you got to have the hunger, you got to have the energy, you got to have the kind of the drive as well to basically just make it happen. Bit of JFDI goes a long way.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think it's important to be, you know, you kind of got to want to get out there and, as you say, be the face. You know, you've got to be cool about picking up the phone, getting stuff done, being creative, finding creative solutions to problems that will inevitably happen. So,
what do you both do for inspo? What do you do to kind of keep the mojo topped up and just, you know, keep yourself energized? Because that's always a challenge, isn't it? Just making sure you just manage your energy. So, you know, peak and burn out, but also you just want to maintain that momentum, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, yes, Ella and I are very much into our Apple Watches and keep getting a step up and hitting our hourly goals.
At 10 to the hour every hour, we get up and squat 50, 52.
I introduced when I came sort of a Wellness Wednesday. So when we're all together in the office, we try to carve out an hour at lunchtime where we, if it's not raining, like it might be today, we go for a nice walk along the river and just sort of chat all things, not probably work related, just life, fun, what we're having for dinner that night, what we're doing on the weekend, and just sort of lightheartedness. And in terms of what I think is very key is to have a good strategy and plan in place for the year, because if everybody's on board with that, then everybody knows what they're sort of aiming towards. So no sort of crazy things come and you suddenly expect you're going to have to hit so-and-so target and you're not aware of it. So I think if everybody is aware of what we're trying to achieve and having those targets and just kind of constantly checking in with one another just to see how we're doing and how we can support with each other, that just makes life less stressful.
Right. That's really interesting. No, thank you so much for sharing. That's kind of really, really interesting. Where do people find you? Where can they follow you? Like, what are your social handles and any kind of shout out stores where people can go and get sort of pass their love for their friends and family, for themselves?
So our Instagram handle is so.fratso. What's our TikTok, Sarah? Sorry, this is, I can't remember what our TikTok one is. That's terrible. It's just SoFatso. Our website is sofatso.com.
Testing us here.
And on our website, you can either buy online or you can look on our stockist page and put your postcode in and it will tell you where your nearest store is.
All of our stockists are amazing. So
yeah, just go
in. We've got enough time to sort of list them all. So yeah, go onto the website, see the closest ones for you. Please do support local if you can, because those people are the ones that keep us going. So as much as we'd love you to buy from us, go onto the website and go buy local and have a chat to the people. Say you've heard the podcast and get some fans on you.
Definitely. Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really good. Really enjoyed it. And look,
thanks for having
watching. You've been enjoying it. Please do reach out to all the team at Fatso, to Ellen, Hannah, Jane, and then just, you know, make sure, more importantly, you buy the product. Get it into your face. Let them know what you think. And yeah, thanks for listening today, guys. We appreciate you supporting the podcast. We'll see you soon. Take care.